First of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verses 17 through 21. Familiar passage to all of us. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 17 and following. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And then if you would please turn to Romans and the 13th chapter, Romans chapter 13 and verses 8 through 10. And you'll notice that Paul quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, quotes the commandments. Romans chapter 13 verses 8 through 10. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we do pray that you would come to us by your Holy Spirit, pouring your love into our hearts, giving us the spirit of illumination to not only understand more fully this your word, but to implement it, to live by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we met this morning in the library as a session, the members of the session did not realize that the television show that they mentioned, Millionaire, you want to be a millionaire? I was intending to use in my introduction this morning. This is a television program in which contestants vie for $1 million by answering a series of questions. I have studiously avoided this particular program. Now, others haven't, that's fine, but I have studiously avoided this particular program. Jesus says that you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. And the whole idea of this particular program, along with others, is that money, when received, will answer numerous problems. And part of the program, like many shows of its like, zero in on the contestant and how the contestant reacts when that contestant wins. And of course, it's a great thing. It's a heart-throbbing thing. It raises the level of adrenaline very high because this is an important thing. But in the end, you cannot serve God and money. In fact, the Bible goes so far as to say that the love of money is the root of all evil. And of course, the opposite of that would be the love of God, which would be the root, the taproot of all good. And when we are in a proper relationship with God, our desire is to love Him with all of our hearts. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, from both Deuteronomy and from Romans. And the head of the outline puts it this way: since God's covenant love involves responsibilities He loves to see you carry out, He gladly strengthens you to do them. Deuteronomy 5, the commandments related there, and Romans 13, as they're quoted. Now, when you go to Romans chapter 13 and verses 8 through 10, you discover, if you dig into the background a little bit, you discover something quite interesting. Look at verse 9. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you notice anything a little different about verse 9? Well, it's not meant to be a trick question, but there is something a little different about verse 9. The seventh commandment is listed first. And then the sixth commandment is listed. And then the eighth commandment is listed. That's the order that Paul gives them. Now, why would this be the case? Well, the reason this is the case is that Paul very specifically is quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. And we know that this is the case because he is quoting from the Greek version of the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. There came a time in the world when the Greek language was the pervasive language of the time. And the Old Testament Hebrew was translated into Greek in order that the Bible might be broadly read. And that's why the New Testament was originally written in the Greek language. It was the language of the world. And so now Paul quotes from the Greek version of the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. And we know this is the case because in the providence of God, the commandments, when they were copied from Hebrew to Greek, were flip-flopped. So that they are in the order that's given in verse 9. The seventh commandment comes before the sixth commandment. Now you're saying to me probably, so what? What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, it seems to me, the big deal is that Paul quotes from Deuteronomy, the book of the covenant of God, very specifically, rather than from an earlier history book, the book of Exodus. And the reason Paul is doing that is that Paul is interested in living by God's covenant. The history book in Exodus is a good book. And it gives us a history of the people of God coming out of Egypt. And it gives us a history of the people of God being brought into a covenant relationship with God before Mount Sinai. Yes, it does. But the book of Deuteronomy is of a different character. It is itself a covenant. And when we ply the pages of the book of Deuteronomy, we find the covenant of God. Turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy, would you please? To chapter 5. And let me point out just a couple of things. In chapter 5 of the book of Deuteronomy, we have a recitation of the Ten Commandments. And we just read those. Here is the central issue. Here is how the people of God are to live. And the summary is given in chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. That's the theme of the book, and that's a summary of the commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And you may recall that the Apostle John says to us in his letters, I give you a new commandment. It's really not a new commandment, it's an old commandment, that you should love one another. It's a commandment that's in the heart of the relationship the people of God are to have with Him. And this is God's covenant. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, just a couple of pages earlier in your Bible. Deuteronomy 4, verses 13 and 14. Look at what it says there. So He declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments, and He wrote them on two tablets of stone. This is God's covenant. He brings a people into relationship with Himself, and He gives those people His Word so that they have an adequate means of serving Him and showing the world their love for Him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. How are you to do this? By following the commandments. And so that's what Deuteronomy is about. And it explores in intimate detail these commandments. And then, at the end of the book, we find blessings and cursings. The blessings of God upon those who faithfully live in covenant with Him. And the curse upon those who fail to live properly in covenant with Him. God calls us to live for Him in this relationship where He brings us salvation and we in turn have particular responsibilities before Him. Now turn back to Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 13. You see, it seems to me here is the point that when Paul quotes from the book of Deuteronomy very specifically, he is calling you and he is calling me, he is calling Christians everywhere to live faithfully in covenant with God. Read these verses in this way. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit murder, commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of all that God had said to the people centuries ago and set forth in that ancient book of Deuteronomy. And God calls you and me to walk in His covenant love as described in that ancient book and in Romans chapter 13. And the amazing thing that we find in Romans chapter 13 is that Paul's exhortations are built upon the whole scheme of salvation, because the book of Romans speaks about being right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. It speaks about our sin in intimate detail. And it speaks about how we are brought into a relationship with God by trusting in this Jesus Christ. And as an outgrowth of that salvation, what are we to do? We are to owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. And I submit to you that when we properly look at God and properly take Him to be our treasure and orient our lives around Him, then we do indeed properly live before God. You can keep your finger there in Romans 13 for a moment and turn back to another text that we read just moments ago. It's in Matthew chapter 19. Let's read it again. And someone came to him, it's Matthew 19:16, and someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, see, here are these same commandments. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said, "If you wish to be complete, if you wish to be mature, if you wish to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And the reaction? But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving. He went away grieving, folks, because he was one who owned much property. You cannot serve God and money. And that was the problem of the young man. Outward conformity to some commandments, yes, but an inner heart to love God and to follow Him, no. He grieved because he would have to part with his money. Where are we? Do we have hearts desirous of serving God? Do you love Him? It's an important question, is it not? And when we go back to Romans and the 13th chapter and look at what it says again. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And when I look at it from the perspective of the young man who grieved over the loss, the possible loss of things in this world and would not follow Jesus, I have to say to myself, do I love God the way I should? Is there in me a love for Jesus Christ that ought to be? Am I one who walks in this path of love the way I should? And if you're like me, you note immediately that you fall short. And that it's not always present within the heart to properly follow God. But that's the injunction. Look at Romans again. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What about your heart? What about your love? It takes some courage, folks. It takes some courage to step out because you love God with all of your heart. It takes some courage to step out and take a stand on various issues where the commandments of God require us to take that stand. You shall not murder, which means that this sin of abortion, which our country is embroiled in, so embroiled in, must be reversed. And we must take a stand and rise up and say to those, even in our own community, who would rather vie for an abortion and not be shamed in the community rather than following God. And that's what it comes to. What is our love for God? Well, we are caught short, are we not? And I'll admit it on my own side and in my own hand. And I don't always walk faithfully in covenant with God as I should. If we understand the work of God properly, we understand, dear friends, that when God brings us into this covenant relationship with Himself, He gives us the power and the grace to follow Him. Jesus said, any father worth his salt, when a son asks for a fish, will not give him a snake. And when a son asks for a loaf of bread, he'll never give him a stone. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit when you ask him? What do we need to do? We need to ask God to give us the Holy Spirit, to pour out His Spirit in our hearts, and to pour His love into our hearts. Yes, we lack. And what is the answer? The abundant grace of God. Look at Romans 13 again. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Ask God to pour the Holy Spirit into your hearts, dear friends. For this, you shall not commit adultery. We've looked at that commandment in a little bit more detail in past weeks. And we discovered when we looked at that commandment that it means not only an outward conformity, but every time there rises in our hearts an unseemly lust, we are violators of that commandment. What do we need to do? What do you need to do? You need to repent of that violation of the commandment. You need to ask God's forgiveness for that violation of the commandment. And you need to ask God to pour His love out into your heart, to change you and transform you and renew you so that you actually do walk in covenant faithfulness with God. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder. We looked at that commandment in a little bit of detail also, did we not? And what did we discover? We discovered that any time we bear animosity or hatred towards another individual, we are violators of this commandment. Have you borne hatred in your heart to another family member, to a parent, to a child, to a son? Even in these past weeks, what do you need to do? You need to repent of that sin. You need to ask God's forgiveness of that sin. You need to seek the Holy Spirit of God and ask God to pour His Holy Spirit out into your heart, to pour the love of God into your heart by the Holy Spirit, to change you and transform you. The problem is not with that other person. The problem is your own heart. Look at Romans 13 again. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And we looked last week at this commandment. You shall not covet. And what did we discover about that commandment? That one of the ways that violation of this commandment is perceived is in grumbling. Now, am I going to be pointing the finger at myself here again? How often in this past week have we grumbled about a particular situation? And how often in this past week have I myself caught myself and said, no grumbling or complaining, Denny. You have to live what you preach. And how is that going to come about? The way it's going to come about, your friends, is to confess that sin, repent of it, and to ask God to give you the Holy Spirit to work deeply in your heart, to transform you into a person who is entirely different. Look at Romans chapter 13 again. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. To walk in covenant with God means to walk in a relationship with God where we realize on one hand there are great requirements placed upon us. And on the other hand, there is an equally great and greater source of power and strength and love poured out by the Almighty God, enabling us to live for Him. I'm afraid too often we are too timid in these matters. And I'm afraid too often I've been too timid in these matters. One of my earthly heroes is Clarence Thomas, who is a justice on the Supreme Court. And it's a great source of joy and encouragement for me personally to listen to this man as he speaks in different contexts. In the past week, he was given an award in Washington by the Heritage Foundation and made remarks before that body in Washington. And one of the things that he talked about was the fact that my words, we are so inundated by a political correctness and a desire not to be intimidated by others that we walk a very fine line and we want to be very civil and nice and polite. We need to be very civil and nice and polite. This is the case. But we dare not back off of the great issues of the day in following God because we're afraid of being intimidated by what people say. And this is not only true in the political realm about which Clarence Thomas was speaking. This is true in the Christian church, where we need to be bold, dear friends, to live for God and to stand for His commandments and to be glad as we do so that God is pleased to give us the strength to live for Him. That's His plan, and that's His purpose for you and me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. And thank you for the covenant into which you call us. Forgive us so often, Father, that we take for granted your grace. And we take for granted our responsibilities. May you be pleased to bring home to us, great God of all, not only the responsibilities that you set forth before us in your word, but give us ever more of your strength, of your grace, of your love, of your power, we pray. Make of us different creatures by pouring your love into our hearts, so that on one hand, we fulfill the great words that are given to us in that book of Deuteronomy, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." And on the other hand, Father, we will live before you as we ought, owing nothing to anyone except to love one another. Bless us to this end, we ask, in the great name of our Lord and Savior, even Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.